Well, hello. Welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and every other week I jump in here and give you all of the hot deets. That was a terrible way of saying that. everything, tell you about everything that's going on in our little world. And I have a super important announcement. We have a new patron. Hey, Rachel, thank you so much for jumping on that Patreon train and getting access to all of that extra super fun content. And hey, if you want access to all of that extra super fun content, head on over to patreon.com/textualtension and check us out. And remember, I haven't mentioned it in a while, you cannot search for us on Patreon because we do adult content. So, you know, we won't show up with that. But hey, check us out. And if you maybe are not in a spot right now to support us, totally fine. We would really appreciate it, however, if you would maybe head on over to like iTunes or something like that. And hey, drop us a rating and a review. That would be fantastic. It really helps us get our name out there and get the podcast out to all sorts of people. And hey, tell your friends. That would be cool too. And if you do leave us a review and you maybe take a screen cap of that and send it to us with some deets, we will totally send you stickers. So hey, maybe do that. If you want to reach out to us on any of our social media, hit us up on all of the Twitstagrams, etc. at textualtensionpod.com is our website. Check that out too. You can contact us and has links to all of our Goodreads, etc., all that stuff. Hey, this, if you happen to notice by the title, we have a guest, so also check out Irritable Dad Syndrome on all of the Twitstagrams as well. And hey, you know, this is a really fun one. We were super excited to have them on. It was totally out of the blue, but it was a blast. And hey, if you ever thought it would be just an experience to sit down and explain a romance novel to your dad or a dad in general, well, that's basically what we did, and it was so much fun. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. One last thing. I know I've said it a couple times, but here's another reminder. We have a Discord, and we just added a new page to our Discord for pets and stuff. So if you just want a bunch of real wholesome pets and videos of pets, etc., check out our Discord. There's a link in our bio on Instagram, and I think a link on our website as well. So you can come on over, talk books with us, talk random stuff with us. It's a blast. We have a ton of fun. So hey, check that out. So now, without further ado, some romance novel wisdom for you. Just always remember, because of synonyms, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and I'm sorry, Daddy, I've been bad, are the same thing. Oh, God. And without further ado, here, my friends, is episode 67, The Act of Love.
Oh, love, tearing me apart from the inside out so I can see myself from the inside.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome to Sexual Attention.
I'm sorry. Let her do her stuff.
Oh, no. No, okay. That's staying in there. Right. A love-hate relationship with romance novels. I'm your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm your co-host, Margie.
Every other week, one of us reads and summarizes a romance novel for the other unsuspecting co-host. This week, Margie's listening in.
That's me.
And together, we unpack
what?
The fuck.
The fuck
just happened.
Good job, guys.
Beautiful, guys. You did great. We okay. have friends on, in case you couldn't tell.
Well, I don't know these people that's great. At all. I don't
Thank
know
you.
Any of these people.
Flattered.
You just stumbled in off the street and found a microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Well, hey, guys, how's it going?
We're fantastic. How are you?
I'm not fantastic. I'm good. I'm not fantastic.
He's too many syllables. He said he was annoyed earlier. Mike said he was annoyed.
Yeah, so, all right. Do you guys want to go ahead and just take
Introduce
it away?
Yourself.
Introduce yourselves.
You're good at this.
Who you are, where you're from, your life story.
Go ahead, Mr.
Well,
TV.
I'm Darren,
man.
And my partner here is Mike, and we're with Irritable Dad Syndrome, and we've been invited to be a guest on this show, a show that has absolutely nothing in common
100%
with our podcast. Yeah. And not because of Margie and Rachel, you two are fantastic, but I'm really, really regretting being in the room with Mike right now. So good luck.
Good. I mean, we both we have comedy kind of going for us.
It's a side effect of the vaccine, the swine flu thing
absolutely.
I just got.
Yeah.
It's messed me up. Yeah. That and the monster.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, and the fact that you showed up 3 hours late and all you brought was M&Ms and a Mountain Dew.
See, every time you tell this story, it's going to get a little further and further off.
Again, like it will. An enemies to lovers romance.
2 weeks late for a podcast.
We do think they're going to kiss.
We have couples counseling booked any day now, and it yeah. can't
oh,
come
good.
Too soon.
Any day.
It
right.
cannot come too soon.
Yep.
Oh, God. Well, so we've kind of already touched on the fact that really there's not a lot in common between our two
Nothing.
Podcasts. And that scares me for you.
Yes.
Because I'm concerned how you guys are going to do, because this is going to be, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Just a crazy wild thought.
Okay.
Neither of you have read a romance novel, have you?
No.
Well,
I have a story.
Actually, for me, you could say neither of you have read a novel. The last
I accidentally read a choose your own adventure romance novel when I was a kid.
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah.
Those
I had no idea.
As you accidentally do.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure. It was in with all the other choose your own adventure books, and then there were like options to do things. And I was like, what in the hell is this?
No, the closest I've come to a romance novel was some Sidney Sheldon books that I read back in the day where every now and then somebody gets it on.
Mm-hmm.
But that
yeah.
was a while back.
This one has a lot of getting it on.
Okay.
So real quick, because we're all fucking professionals, did you guys mention the name of your podcast or did I just stroke out for a second?
We didn't.
I mentioned it.
I did.
Oh, okay,
feel
good,
free to
great.
Mention it again.
Irritable dad syndrome.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. I have another follow-up question to that, if
okay.
you don't mind, Rachel,
yep.
going in.
Hit
just
it.
So you know. I know that now I can guess the moment when you guys, like, realize that you were dads. But when did you realize you were irritable dads? When was the moment when you got to the irritable
I think
part?
We're pleasant.
Actually,
I don't think
it took Mike a long time to realize he was a dad.
Oh, no.
Or at least to act like a dad.
This is...
Why are there kids around? What the hell? Where did they come
they
from?
Keep showing
Wait,
up.
Why are these... Yeah. Why are there pictures of newborns on my desk?
Yeah.
Honey?
To answer your question, Mike and I, we've been friends for a long time. Well, that's okay. That's debatable.
Friends is a
strong
word.
We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, we've known each
other. My youngest son and his oldest son are friends, and they were constantly having play dates and scout meetings and basketball games. And every time we were at one of these events, we gravitated towards each other because we're both idiots.
Yeah.
And
we
found out, sure enough, that we have a lot in common. We were all constantly talking. We wouldn't pay attention to anything that the kids were doing.
No, we get in trouble all the time for that. We would have an hour-long conversation
about... Did you see that basket your son made?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So, what?
And Mike had the brilliant idea of, you know, it's like these conversations we have are actually very fun, and he thought that people would enjoy listening to him, so we bought some microphones, and that's what we got going
and
on.
And it turns out he was wrong. People
right.
don't like listening to it. But
and we're not
we're
irritable
fun.
Because we have kids. We're irritable because we're around each other, I think.
Yeah. So,
this
yeah.
podcast okay. is tearing us apart, Mike.
Good. So, good.
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 Fine.
Give it to tear your ass out of here right now so I can get back to playing video games.
Maybe by the end of it, of this episode, we could heal their relationship.
Oh,
no.
Maybe this
Margie,
sweet romance comes in.
Don't.
Margie, never go into a relationship trying to fix it.
Oh,
we've
you're
learned
so right.
anything
you're so right.
in like 66 episodes. Uh-huh. Never. All right. So whenever we have people on, I like to try to find, obviously, a book that kind of... is related in some way. So in this particular instance, I looked for books with dads in them.
Okay.
And most of them are very boring. So I picked one that Margie's like, you picked one with a father figure, right? And I was like, well, I picked one with a figure that is a dad. He is a father. So it should be fun. It's going to be a good time.
Okay.
I also try to pick the most problematic book that I can find. So
I'm not looking.
Yeah, Margie's not going to look. I am going to go ahead and send you guys in... the chat.
Oh Lord, now we gotta do something.
You do. The Goodreads listing for. So the way this is gonna work is I'm gonna send you this link and you guys are going to look at the cover and describe it. And then someone is going to read the description of the book. All right, are you guys ready?
I don't know. Here, you're gonna help me.
All right. So
that's the. Am I allowed to say something?
Yeah, yes. You guys now.
This is
go
that.
Ahead and
is the 50 Shades of? It's the 50 Shades of whatever thing.
Okay. No, it's not.
It is. It's like the guy in the suit. Oh, yeah. Is she a vampire with like, but her fang is sticking out sideways?
Yes.
It does kind of look like she has a fang. She... So, Margie, what's the book?
The book is called Sweet Temptation. Yeah. And
I can't hear you right now. You get back over there. Apple. What?
I was standing over your microphone.
You see, you're like, gotta be like right on it. You gotta be like in it, like you're up on
in a turn.
You don't have to hold back here, Mike.
He's got a tattoo. He's got like, what is he in a gang? Okay, so he's an orthodontist.
Yeah, so it's
an orthodontist in a gang.
He's an orthodontist.
She's going to get her fang fixed.
Oh, wow. Does he have a tattoo on his cheek?
Yeah. I think he might. Yeah.
That is super weird.
She's going to get her fang fixed.
Well, look at it. Stick it through her lip.
The book is called Sweet Temptation by Cora Riley. Uh-huh.
And it's got like the lettering. It's a really dark background with two people. The guy is turned to his side. Like he looks like he's saying something in passing to her. Like, I've got this really great dentist who could help you with those fangs that you want so badly.
Hey, baby, you want any floss?
And she kind of has this like Megan. She looks a lot like Megan Fox.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
her eye looks too big for her head.
Yeah, I think I can't tell if there's very obviously a contact situation happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you think?
Is that a real person?
Oh, wait, she's got her hand up.
Yeah, her hand's up.
Her hand's up, like around his arm.
It
very
looks very uncomfortable, honestly.
Is she have him? She's got him in a hold. Okay, so it's a vampire that is demanding free orthodontia from the doctor.
Yes, free orthodontic care.
Yeah, it should be covered under any insurance. But it's not.
He's got a lightning bolt.
It says something at the bottom.
I have no idea.
I don't know what it says on the bottom, though.
I think at the very bottom it says Oprah's book club.
Braces. Actually, braces were just the beginning.
I think that Oprah would read this book. Let's see. What is she? What does this say? She was wicked, lovely, and far too young.
That's...
Well, okay. Chris Hansen just jumped into the book a little bit there.
How young is she, I wonder?
How about, Margie, do you want to read the description for me?
I would be happy to.
All right, so Margie's going to read the description.
All right, here we go. An arranged marriage, standalone mafia romance. That's a lot.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
That's a lot. Okay.
The first time Cassio met his fiance, she called him
Sir. He's a watchmaker.
Cassio?
Yeah.
Oh, his last name is, I'm pretty sure, Moretti. And please imagine Marzetti Olives, because I think he's heir to the olive fortune.
Well, they named him Cassio because Rolex was already taken by one of his cousins. Yeah.
All right. So after losing his wife, Cassio is left to take care of two small children while trying to establish his rule over Philadelphia.
That'll make you irritable.
Yep. It is, yeah.
Now he needs a mother for his children and someone who can warm his bed at night.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, here we go. Especially someone with a fang.
But in a traditional world as his, choosing your wife is duty, not pleasure. Rules have to be followed, traditions heeded. That's how he ends up with a woman, a girl barely of age.
What the fuck is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, Rachel?
I picked the worst one I could find because it is necessary whenever people come on as guests that the first book is awful.
Sure.
So she might not be what he and his children need, but she's wicked lovely and a sweet temptation he can't resist.
Wicked vampire.
Uh-huh.
Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Spelled
with a G.
G-I-U-L-I-A.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Always knew she'd marry a man her father chose for her. Only she never expected to be given to someone much older.
How old is this motherfucker?
Keep rolling.
Suddenly she's supposed to be a mother to two small children when she hasn't even held a baby in her life.
What?
Julia quickly realizes that Cassio isn't interested in a relationship on equal footing.
I hate everything about this.
Her mother always warned her that men of power like Cassio don't tolerate insolence. Yet, tired of being treated as a nanny and clueless child bride, Julia decides to fight for her vision of a happy family.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's the book I chose.
Was this on the dollar rack?
It wasn't actually. It was actually on a list of some of the most popular single dad romance novels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
so,
most
you know.
Popular single dad romance novels.
There's
quite it's a very yeah. wide yeah. range of
so content one thing there. I actually noticed, because I looked up a couple lists, because I've never read a single dad romance novel. It is a relatively recent topic, I guess, of romance novels, and all of them are boring. So at least the descriptions were just like awful, and I was like, oh god. So it was between this one and one about two people sharing office space in New York. Those wow. were the options.
Yeah.
So I went with one that I thought would be more interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
It was
well it's
terrible.
Interesting.
Cool. So triggers, real quick. Before I start telling you about the book, we have to go over what triggers are in the book.
Ooh, trigger bingo, trigger bingo.
Jumping
yes.
right into the triggers.
I don't even know what, I don't know what's going on here.
Okay, Papaw. Okay, so this is a new thing, triggers. Like okay. you say, like the certain words trigger some people. Like when I hear Darren Cox, I want to fucking kill something.
Right.
That's a trigger for
right.
me. So
okay.
she's going to explain.
Making sure that triggers in the romance novel okay. mean the same thing. As
oh, they're the
else.
Same. Okay. Yeah, it's... So the reason we go into triggers for okay. books is because a lot of these books market things that are really not healthy relationships as romance. So we like to make sure people know exactly what they're getting into.
Okay. Wait. You're saying that these books that you read sometimes have things in them that are not healthy relationship goals or good examples of
I know,
a nice
I know.
Relationship.
So Mike's
I know.
Out.
A fulfilling relationship. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It is shocking.
Okay. You'd be surprised by how much yacht violence we deal
yacht
with.
Violence.
Yacht violence.
The number.
That would
the
have
number.
Been, it's like, bitch, get on the yacht and I'm going to hit you.
Yes, that has been one of them. The number of relationships that start with kidnapping is truly upsetting.
Whoa, wow.
Just okay. really upsetting.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Triggers, death, obviously,
okay.
death. Torture, okay. you know, mm-hmm. Threats against children,
mm.
yeah, oh. their health, safety, life, traumatized, very emotionally traumatized children in this book, incest,
hey, you know,
adultery.
The best part about an incestuous relationship is you never have to worry about whose family you visit at Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well.
Wow. Wow.
But I'm tush.
Yep.
Good night.
And we're done here. Good night, everybody.
And we'll see you guys on Irritable Dad Syndrome.
Yeah.
and suicide.
Good.
Yes. So there
this
you go.
Book has
I actually,
it all. Okay.
Yeah, it has yeah. it all. I had to make a list. The good news is there is no underage sex.
Okay.
So she's 18.
Barely.
And he's
well,
like
now you
40.
Just spoiled the
no,
book
he's
for me because
I know. I'm sorry.
I know that the girl is underage. So now you spoiled the book. I know that they're not gonna.
No! She is of age.
Oh, they have.
I thought
sex.
You said she was underage.
No,
she starts underage.
She starts underage.
Oh.
They don't have sex while she's underage.
Okay. Well, that's
they have some class. They have some.
A little bit. All right, so I'm going to go over our characters, and then I'm going to get into the actual book description.
Right.
So we have Cassio, Mr. Watch Olive the Third.
No, you made that name up. You don't remember the name. Mr.
Cassio
Watch Olive.
They named the guy Mr. Watch Olive.
Yeah.
No, his name's Cassio Moretti, but I just imagine watches and Marzetti olives
because
I like
okay.
martinis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, he's 33.
Right
he
over
is
our heads.
The underboss of Philadelphia. Excuse you.
There's a child.
The first time Jesus. We've ever had an asshole on our show there. Just walked right by the camera.
This is Athena.
Thanks, Kat. Okay, so he is the underboss of Philadelphia, which I looked it up. Philadelphia is actually a big mob city. Because my first thought was, wait, really? Philly? Of all places? Okay. He has dark hair, blue eyes, and is shaped like a Dorito.
Okay.
Yes.
Shaped like a Dorito.
So from the side, you barely see him?
Yeah.
Or
from the front, really broad shoulders with a strong taper because he's very muscular. So it's
okay.
the classic Dorito shape.
You gotta imagine like
the
Chris
other way,
Evans.
Upside yes. down. I was thinking he was
okay.
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
fat
no,
dude with a pinhead.
Wait, hold it. Did you just compare Chris Evans to a Dorito?
Yes.
That's
he's the
that's
classic
Captain
Dorito
America.
Shape.
I think if Cat America was going to be a Dorito, it'd be Cool Ranch.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
2 hours later, we start the book. Okay.
So our other character is Julia. Julia starts in this book at the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, she is 18 before they actually fuck.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's that. All right. So I break my book into scenes, and I... Congratulations, guys. You get to play a time-honored game here in the Textual Tension universe called Spot the Plot. So the game is called Spot the Plot.
Spot the Plot.
Basically, I want you guys to tell me whenever you think you've found the plot.
I already know the plot. He's banging some chick after she gets 18.
Right.
Somebody's going to get tortured and killed. He looks like a Dorito.
right.
In the end, she leaves him.
Those are all great descriptors.
She leaves him with the kid. She takes the kids. He dies in some fiery cheesesteak accident.
The kid or she takes the kids.
She takes the kids and leaves him to die. Well, maybe to you. She leaves him to die.
Maybe to everybody.
Probably in a van that fell into the river in flames. While he was working on a watch. Done.
That would be a far better book than the one that I read. So, scene one. Let's get some setup.
Mm-hmm.
So Cassio is in a little bit of a pickle.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. See, he's in his bedroom, but covered in blood, and his wife is dead in front of him.
Oh, oh man. Oh.
Tuesdays, right?
Typical Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. Typical Tuesdays.
Okay.
I hate it when that happens.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
It really is.
That will really ruin Christmas morning.
It's just.
Yeah, it does.
Is it Christmas morning in this book?
There is a Christmas morning in this book.
Oh,
we'll get there.
My telepathy?
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 Your telepathy? Your fish telepathy?
I was going to say, is that a fish telepathy?
My telepathic abilities are coming.
What Ariel and the Little Mermaid have?
No, it's Aquaman.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The fish. Yeah. Okay.
So
What
you're saying is you're Aquaman.
That's seven.
Sure. Sure.
Yes. So, okay. So his wife is dead in front of him, mm-hmm. and he really needs to clean it up. Just kind of an awkward situation.
That's his
situation.
First thought, is that he needs to clean it up, not call 911?
Well, it's going to soak into the carpet. You got to get it before, I mean, Jesus. Yeah. You know.
Do they even have carpet? It's probably some like
It's on the bed, but I don't know.
Wait, there's carpet on the bed?
They're in a mansion. They probably can afford carpet.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, the new Casper mattress. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hey, Casper, sponsor us.
Oh, God. So she's hella dead. And scene.
She's hella
That's
dead.
All you get. Hella
That's it?
Dead.
She's not
so
mostly dead. She's hella
okay.
dead.
Okay. Oh, she's so dead.
Okay.
So cut to a little bit later. Cassio, who is the underboss of Philadelphia and very busy doing things like running, a drug ring and maybe some human trafficking and all the really nice things that
and cleaning up his wife's body.
Yeah, well, but he's having to stay up at night and take care of his like 4-month-old and his 2-year-old, and it's just a lot of work. Mm. Like for one, and he can't get a nanny for some reason. So he's just at his wit's end, and everyone's like, look, I know we just buried your wife, but you really need to marry someone. Here, have this 17-year-old.
Well, okay.
And he's like...
I mean, when did the murder happen?
I don't see a problem yet.
This is a typical Wednesday.
So he agrees to marry this 17-year-old a week after his wife dies, and is like, okay, but...
Oh, that's one week? All this was like... He won't get a nanny. He won't do that. We're talking from like Monday till
Monday.
Sunday.
Yes.
Or Monday
apparently he is incapable of being a single father for a week.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Things
and,
move fast in Cora Riley's world.
My wife's been out of town for like 2 days and I've considered remarriage, but I didn't do it. I'm like, raising kids by yourself is hard.
I mean, fair. As someone without children, I wouldn't know. So I guess within this week, basically what happens is his wife dies. They go to the funeral. He has to deal with his children who are emotionally traumatized because of their mom died.
Right.
And he just can't do it anymore. And so at the funeral, someone came up to him and was like, hey, you need to get married again. Look at this young girl. She's eligible. And he's like, no, she's too young. And then 3 nights later was like, okay, but I'm tired. Yes, I'll marry her. That's the first week of this book.
I'm just tired. Okay, I'll marry her. That's a
there are
love
standards
story right
in
there.
This mob family,
so
Margie.
Oh, excuse me.
She's 17.
Yes, but
and his kids his kids are 4 and 2.
No, it's 4 months old and 2 years old.
Oh, four. Okay.
Yes.
4 months old.
Yes.
Just put them in a laundry basket in a room, and then the other kid.
Yeah.
You know
they can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Give them like a Nintendo.
Well, he is give Cassie more credit. Mm-hmm. He's not going to marry her until she's 18.
Oh, okay.
So they have four.
So he's a gentleman.
Yeah, they have 4 months.
Okay.
The wedding is in 4 months.
4 months.
Yep. 4 months.
Has anybody figured out why his wife was covered in blood on the carpet in the
no,
bed?
No, they just drop that right at the beginning and are like, meh, sure, I'm writing this from his perspective, so he actually knows everything that's happened, but I'm not going to give the reader that.
Okay. No. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Julia is not particularly pleased with this arrangement. Go figure.
I can't imagine why.
And
well, is he hot and rich?
She hasn't met him yet. She doesn't know if he's hot. Oh, she doesn't know he's rich.
He's a mob boss in Philly. He's bloated.
What's not to know?
He had a dead person. Rich. He had a dead person in his bed on a carpet just 2 or 3 days ago, and that magically goes away, and now he's at the funeral getting women.
Her dad is rich. Also an underboss. So that's why he's marrying her.
Was his wife killed by the other underboss to get this thing moving?
We're gonna get
it. Did Mike spot the plot?
I spotted the plot.
You didn't.
Are there prizes?
He tried to.
There are no prizes except bragging rights. So,
that's enough for Mike.
It is.
So Julia is not particularly pleased with this arrangement, but she also does not have a choice in the matter, so she just kind of has to go with it. And a side note that I think everyone here should be aware of: everyone in the family is pretty sure Cassio killed his wife.
Yeah, everyone here in this room is pretty sure Cassie.
I don't know. I think he was framed.
Okay.
He did it pretty sloppily. Like, if he's covered in blood and he's a mop boss, it doesn't seem like he did a very good job.
Yeah, but it was in the comfort of his own home.
You wouldn't think he would just go to sleep.
Well, they would...
I'm tired. I've been stabbing all night.
My arm is so sore. Yeah. No, they have people. They have people who can take care of that.
This is the mob.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But
this already doesn't make sense to me.
Am I going to be, as a mafia movie fan, is this book going to piss me off when we get down to the nitty gritty? I'm going to get mad. Okay.
Probably.
No, I mean, it's the mafia. Yeah. It's like
I'm a full can in right now.
I got a situation over here that I need you to take care of. And then Fat Tony comes in with, I don't know, Guido or
Fat Tony.
Fat Tony, yeah. Yeah, okay. Big. They come and then Sopranos, and then they take care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my problem with the book is these are like the worst mafia people ever.
Yeah, they do reference a lot of the stuff that's happening in the mafia, and a lot of stuff happens in the mafia, but it means nothing.
Right.
Because there's no plot in this book.
Right.
So, scene two. Cassio comes by to meet Julia for the first time, and she ends up sneaking down to see him, like to try to get a glimpse of him before she officially, quote unquote, meets him at dinner or whatever. And accidentally, whoopsie doodle.
Whoopsie daisy doodly
do. Doodly do. They end up running into each other.
Nope. Whoopsie daisy.
Damn.
I know. And his first reaction is, oh my God, she's a child. Which,
yeah.
No fuck.
She's 17.
Yep.
Do you kiss your mother with that mouth? Jeez.
I mean, I don't see what the fucking problem is. What's wrong? So, his first thought is, she's really young. She dresses in totally an inappropriate way for my wife. So that's going to have to change.
Although his wife, she's all her clothes are covered in blood, so what does it matter?
She's one of those 17-year-old girls that gets a Slayer shirt from Hot Topic.
Exactly.
No, it's more of like, but she's a quirky girl. She wears sunflowers, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's infuriating. And she's way too insubordinate.
And young.
She's too insubordinate?
Yes.
And yet, excuse me.
Yes, yes. So what he tells her is, okay, you're going to do everything I say, and I'm going to buy you an entirely new wardrobe that I pick out. Bye. And that's his first interaction with her.
Okay.
Yay.
He wants her to buy, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, so then
he takes her to Kohl's because they're having a sale, right?
No, he has servants to do that. Remember, he's the mafia guy.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
God damn it. And that's pretty much it. That's their first meeting. He tells her, I don't like you. Change your looks. We'll get married in 4 months. I'll see you then. Bye.
Okay.
And they leave. And that's it. So we're starting out this relationship.
Sounds great.
Strong.
Does she believe that he killed his first wife?
She does not know.
Oh, good.
She kind of assumes.
At this point,
but she knows that his first wife is dead. Yes.
Okay. At this point in the book, do you look up from the book and think, "What am I doing with my life?"
Right.
That pretty much started at the beginning
of this podcast.
Yes.
Like this particular episode?
Yeah, this particular
episode. Or your podcast in general?
In general.
The podcast in general. You guys don't... This is... I have to be honest with you guys. So far, this is almost tame.
Oh, this is incredibly
tame.
Compared
to the last one that I read where, you know, the guy died inside her.
Yes, middle of sex. Uh-huh.
Well...
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
So...
You come and go.
So,
oh, my God.
By the way, she was 17 and he was 36.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she was 16.
Right.
So... let's see. They don't see each other again until the wedding. So it is a 4 full months, which I...
Does he pick her wedding dress, do you think?
No, her mom does.
Okay.
My question is, why isn't she in school?
Yeah. I hope she's not...
It's a pandemic, Rachel.
I hope she's not neglecting her studies.
Wait. So it took him a week to decide to marry...
Yes.
This chick after his wife died, but it took months for her to find her wardrobe.
Well, no. It took a week for him to decide he wanted to marry her, but then he says, "Oh, I can't do the irresponsible thing." And we'll marry 4 months later when she's of age. Until then, I'm going to boss her around like she's my daughter and make her get new clothes and stop dressing like a whore.
Oh.
Yes, essentially. Yeah, you got it. Got it.
You turned whore into a 3-syllable word there. That was amazing.
I've been in Tennessee for the past week.
Whore.
Okay? But you whore.
Rachel, get to the next scene.
We're getting there. Okay, so the wedding.
Mike, we're on page 3 of the book now.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm on scene 2 out of, I think, 6. So the wedding's fine. She, like, props to her. She's kind of like, well, I got to make the best out of this situation. And, like, she only has, like, a minor meltdown once where she kind of, like, runs away and Cassio's sister, who is actually a complete gem, his sister is fantastic, finds her and is like, "I get it. My brother's a dick. But don't worry, he's not that bad and we'll get through it together." And then Cassio shows up and proves everyone wrong.
Oh, good.
By being a dick.
Yeah.
So he shows up and he's like, so I know this sucks, but we kind of got to both get over it. Oh, and also, like, you know how we are a mafia family and live in a traditional, like, family, I guess? Mm-hmm. We are going to have to present the sheets after our wedding night. So sex is going to happen.
Present the presenting of the sheets. That's
I missed that part. You didn't do that when you got married?
No, I missed that.
No.
You didn't.
No.
You didn't set them. No. You didn't set them on the back of a chair.
That didn't happen in the brunch room the day after
your wedding, because that's what happens in this book.
That didn't happen.
We went to Kohl's and picked out the Martha Stewart set. That got the high thread count.
I don't remember that in Jerry Maguire. I don't remember the presenting of the sheets after the wedding.
Oh, well, that happens.
What's Jerry Maguire got to do with anything?
It's a love story.
But of all the love stories, you bring Jerry Maguire into this?
It's a good love story.
You complete me, Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, you complete me, Jerry Maguire.
Help me help you.
What, my other one is Titanic, and they went down in a boat. They didn't have time to present the bed sheets. And then it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
And they weren't married.
Well, they wouldn't have been. They did it in the back of a car, so where were they going to show the leather?
You don't have bed sheets in a car. Very good point.
They weren't married, which is why she wouldn't let him on that raft.
Yeah, that sounds like the Titanic that I remember watching.
Yep.
That's in the deleted scenes.
Yeah. So back to the wedding night. So they do have sex. And Cassio kind of is a decent human being in that he's like, "Look, I know it's not really a choice, but like we can maybe figure something out as far as faking it goes, but really not really." And then they have sex.
Okay.
Faking what?
The blood on the sheets that they have to present to the entire family the day after.
He has the sheets from his wife. He could have brought those back out. Yeah.
How much blood do you think there's supposed to be?
Man, did they have a lot of sex or what?
Also, he had those sheets just cut up for 4 months.
Okay, we're gonna do it on the floor, on the chair, against the wall, on the ceiling. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh God! I swear to God, we're gonna get through the book. We're gonna get through the book. So they do. They present the sheets of the day after, and they actually did have sex, and they literally sheets.
Who do they present the sheets to?
So the next day, they have brunch with the family.
Hi-li-ho, neighbor.
The family? To Granny Cassio?
Yeah. The whole Casio family.
Well, this is
and Julia's family. Oh, it's hella awkward. They literally put the sheets on the back of a chair and then all eat breakfast around it.
We did it, and here's the DNA to prove it.
This went from Jerry Maguire to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2.
Fucking horrifying.
Okay.
So they actually have sex. They present the sheets and all eat breakfast around it because
they ate breakfast around the sheet.
No, I told you she's a vampire. That's why. That's the fang. That's she's a vampire.
Hey, can you hand me the syrup and don't get it on the sheets?
I'm glad that I'm not the only one that was horrified when I read that.
They ate breakfast around the sheets.
They did.
This is stupid.
Yeah. So they're all at the IHOP with the bloody sheets. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. Yep. So, because Casio is a really big, important mob boss kind of guy, he doesn't have time for a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. So that day, they go back to his mansion, and Julia meets the kiddos and the dog for the first time.
The dog. There's plot a dog. Twist. There's a
Surprise.
Dog.
Surprise. There's a dog. Now, I'm sorry, but in order for there to be a plot twist, there has to be a plot. We haven't found it yet.
They can't have a plot twist if you don't have a plot.
Exactly. So there is a dog. Apparently it was his now dead, I almost said ex-wife, which is not wrong, but not right.
You wouldn't refer to her as an ex-wife. You'd refer to her as your widow.
Or corpse. Or you are the widow of the...
Yes, of the corpse that was your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the late wife had a dog, and Casio has decided that the best way to deal with this dog is to lock it in the laundry closet and just make it live there.
Sounds like a plan.
I hate him.
Yeah.
Throw some Bologna in there with it, and it'll be fine.
He gives it a fucking litter box, and I'm just like, you...
A litter box.
Ass.
Cora Riley, what the hell's wrong with you?
So...
That's the author, Darren.
I know who Cora Riley is.
I'm just making sure you're with the rest of us.
In my notes, I literally just said, what the fuck, Casio? Uh-huh. So they meet the dog. Casio hates the dog. And Julia's like, no, do not hate that dog. And do not put it in there. Oh, there's going to be some changes made around here.
Oh, yeah.
She meets the kids. And so the kids are Simona and Daniel. Mm-hmm. Simona's the 4-month-old. Daniel's the 2-year-old. Daniel is currently, they're asleep by the time they get home. Daniel is actually sleeping in his mom's old room. Because Daniel has been very traumatized.
Is Daniel still sleeping in the pool of blood, or have they cleaned that up?
They have cleaned that up, yes. Okay.
Yeah. They're down at the IHOP. Those blankets are down at the IHOP.
So you do get the
being
sense that
presented.
To Granny Cassius. Sorry, we're just destroying your podcast. It's going to be a 4-hour episode.
So you actually do get, it's explained, Daniel actually, was really traumatized by the death of his mom. So, he went from being potty trained to back in diapers because he started just wetting the bed again. And he won't talk to anybody. He will not, interact with his dad. And he basically does nothing all day except play on, an iPad.
Okay. This went dark fast.
This is the biggest bullshit part of the book. The kid at 2 years old, the boy, was potty trained. Boys don't get potty trained till they're. Some boys get potty trained at 6.
Yeah, I'm potty trained just last week.
You just got last week.
I think 2, but he's going to be 3.
That's how that works.
That's the next number.
Yep, that is the next number. You're right.
Not a lot of people skip over 3.
Well, I mean, you're saying he's a
hard.
Weeks.
Yeah, he's a hard 2.
He's a hard 2.
Advanced two.
So that night, they start to get steamy, but are interrupted by the baby.
Who?
Julia and Casio.
And Casio.
Who did you think it was?
That goddamn baby starts crying again from the room with the dog in the litter box.
Right.
No, different room. The baby actually is in there, its own room.
And then where's Aunt, what's her, Aunt Helen? What's the aunt's name?
Aunt B.
Casio's sister.
It's pronounced Aunt B.
The aunt's name is Maya, but she lives not with them.
Oh, okay.
It's just Julia and Casio in the house right now. So Casio is like, I have to wake up early. Can you handle the child? And Julia's like, no, I have never touched a child in my life. So Casio has to go and show her, like, okay, she's probably hungry. This is how you make a bottle. You hold her while I do this. And they, like, he, like, shows her. And internally, he's like, ah, fuck, this is going to be awful.
And
yeah, maybe you shouldn't have married someone who was just, like, offered to you for
Margie,
free.
Margie, that is unreasonable.
Can I make
the investigator who's solving the crime?
is this a very odd story. This is not...
We are not even halfway through it.
Okay.
So, the next morning, Cassio gets up and goes to do mob stuff, torture some people, run some drug rings.
Eat some pasta.
The whole night.
Yeah.
Eat some pasta. And
get a new pinky ring. Yeah.
And snort some cocaine, the usual. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Julia is like, all right, it's time to get some work done. Because obviously, some shit needs to happen in this house.
Right.
So she, like, actually...
This place needs a woman's touch.
Yeah, essentially, yes, actually. So she's like, all right,
She's barely a woman. She's 18.
Uh-huh. So she's like, okay, the dog, we're going to treat that like an actual animal and not a piece of literal garbage. The children, they need new clothes because they have none of them that fit because Cassio apparently doesn't understand how clothing a human works and hasn't been buying them clothing. So
she takes them to Kohl's.
That'll go to Once Upon a Child.
Yeah, just buy spandex and it grows with the child.
It does.
Problem solved.
It's very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they go on like a whole montage of like taking the dog out on a walk because the kids have apparently never done that before. Getting
some montage
clothes.
In a book.
Oh, there are three montages in my notes. Don't you worry.
The rock group Survivor doing the soundtrack.
Yeah, essentially.
In a burning heart.
And we also get a little bit of a glimpse into the trust issues that Cassio has.
No.
Raise your hand if you were surprised that Cassio has trust issues.
I am.
Well, the person who should have had trust issues was Cassio's widow.
No, he has trust issues because of her. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So he has trust issues and also is really a very jealous human, which is a great combo.
Surprise, yeah.
Yeah. So Cassio gives her two bodyguards to hang out with him, her and the kids.
Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. Bow, chicka, bow, bow,
bow, yeah. bow. Oh,
one of them is particularly...
We're reading a romance novel, by the way. Okay. I mean, because there's a lot of banging mm-hmm. needs to be happening.
Hanging and banging, yeah.
So far, all we've talked about is IHOP and putting dogs in rooms with litter boxes.
Right. Where's the juice? Where's the good stuff?
Total absence of the frickin' police.
Guys, it's happened twice.
They've had sex twice. Paying attention.
Oh, I missed it.
The whole thing with the sheets was because of sex.
Don't you guys understand why
there was a presentation of sheets?
You were there when they talked
Darren,
about...
Darren keeps distracting me with his bullshit.
I'm just sitting here.
You guys co-hosting. Do understand why there was a presentation of sheets, right?
I get that. Mike doesn't.
No, wait, well, hold on. I understand
what the reason for it.
I don't understand why they would present sheets. But we've already been over that.
So
stop bringing up the past, Darren.
So he gives her two bodyguards. One of them. One of them is an old crotchety dude, which, like, to be expected from Cassio. The other one is...
also sounds helpful as a bodyguard.
Uh-huh. He's like ex-military kind of.
He's an old crotchety dude.
Yeah, like
okay.
I'm sorry, older gentleman. Okay. Not like okay. 70.
Like
but...
Danny, like Danny Glover type.
So like Darren or Mike.
Polly Walnuts. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. The child has picked the loudest toy to play with.
That is your fault.
Yes,
you
it is.
You bought those.
I own it. The other one, the other bodyguard, is young and attractive.
Oh.
And so Julia's like, well, this is weird. Why mm-hmm. would he give me a young and attractive bodyguard?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Handmaid's Tale here.
Oh no. So the entire time during the montage of the day where she's like getting close to the kids and stuff, he is just being a little bit too friendly. And she's mm-hmm. like kind of keeping an eye on it like, this is weird. So just keep that in mind. So the next day, they're out at the dog park doing more family stuff. Her earning the trust of these children and suddenly turning in magically into a competent person with children. And she notices, oh, my bodyguard guy. Oh, he flirted with that dude. I get it. He's gay. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so she confronts him afterwards.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. No, not at all.
Not at all.
No, nothing at all. But she, like, confronts the dude, and she's like, hey, so I think I know what's going on. And he's like, what are you talking about? I have no idea. She's like, no. you're gay. What? No, I'm not gay. No, you're gay. And Cassio made you flirt, hatched you to flirt with me to see if I would stay faithful to him.
Fucking knew it.
Of course you did. Yeah. And he's like, no. And she's like, uh-huh. And so they end up having, so we're in the middle of
sex?
No. My second montage in this book, which is the nobody fucking trusts each other montage.
Right.
There's literally several chapters of just Cassio being like, I'm going to test you in this way. And her being like, you are a fucking idiot. Back and forth. So much of this. So possible trigger that I should have mentioned at the beginning is that they do reference gay people being murdered.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently,
so,
because they're gay?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Because
okay.
In the mafia, no one can be gay. If you're gay, you're going to get murdered. So this dude being gay is like, Cassio's the only one that knows he's gay, which is why he denies it so fervently.
Doing, Cassio's really just, you know, doing him a favor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you want me to get rid of the toy?
No, I think it's hilarious.
Okay. Can you guys hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's a cat.
It sounds like someone's got a tambourine.
Yeah, that's about what she has.
We're about to have an old jug band.
Okay, so trust and sex montage. So basically, the next couple chapters of this book are them learning to trust each other and having a lot of sex. And it
Who's having sex?
Cassio and Julia.
Cassio and Julia. Okay. Yes.
It is a romance novel, so it probably will be the last one. Unless it's Cassio with the bodyguard. That would have been a nice twist.
That would have been very nice, actually. No, it's definitely Cassio and Julia, but even by our romance novel standards, this book has a lot
of
sex.
And how is the sex? We'll get into it in Under the Covers, but how is the sex?
So they say the word pussy a lot, which I am not particularly a fan of that word, but it is, so it was my own personal hell. But they do describe, and not just pussy, but it's a lot of, you have a fucking beautiful pussy, or your pussy is gorgeous, and it is. Well. Horrific. So there's a lot of that.
You put on a Hallmark card.
Yes. Yes.
And it's also extremely wet. Well, the sex is very wet.
Hence the presentation. I'm just
thinking of Mike's Hallmark card. It says, thank you for showing me your pussy. Yeah. Love Cassio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sin.
Yeah, pretty much. So they have a lot of sex. He shows her his beach house. Bitches love beach houses.
Is that a euphemism or his actual beach house?
I mean, it could be both. The amount of sex that they have, it could be both. And I will say, props, credit where credit is due. There is actually some like cute and good wholesome interactions between Cassio, Julia, and the children.
Hi, yes, but thanks. Oh, she's 18 and
they build
33.
A sandcastle.
Yeah,
yeah,
they do. They build
they
a sandcastle.
They go get ice cream.
She gets the kid to start talking a little bit.
He buys them a caramel apple.
Yeah, and it
she
turns
gets
out
her fang stuck in it. Have we gotten to the fang yet?
No, we haven't gotten to the fang yet.
No fangs.
She got that fixed. There's a fang on the cover of the book.
She married an underboss. She can afford good quality dental surgery now.
Okay, it's just that you think she would have done that before the photo for the book.
Just get a retainer to put that thing back up in there.
Yeah, you'd really think.
Old Snaggletooth McGillicuddy. Go ahead.
So,
and back to you.
Hey, take it away. So I would also like to mention, and this is, there's a lot of stuff going on sort of in the background of this quote-unquote relationship.
Is this what the plot is? Not the
plot? I'll describe it to you and you tell me if you think it's a plot. Cassio's boss starts murdering a bunch of people.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord.
Don't worry. He's fine.
It's a lot of sheets he's gotta take.
I'll stop worrying.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I know you're worried.
I was really set back there.
I know that
Jared
is so worried about Cassio.
And he gets in a fight with her brother because they're alone together at home.
Julia has a brother?
Julia has a brother.
How come we haven't heard about her brother?
I heard about him.
Because he literally just showed up.
Oh, okay.
And
is this
so
like,
he
there
over,
was a sister too. There
is this
was
like
yeah,
the guy who like,
too.
Like
well,
for
Cassio's
4 years
sister.
And you never see him, and then all of a sudden he needs to borrow money. He wants to sleep on your couch type of thing. Or
so technically, Cassio is her brother's boss. So okay, this whole side plot is that her brother is the son of an underboss, so he's going to become an underboss. But he wanted to make a name for himself, so instead of working for his dad, he left and works for Cassio to try to make a name for himself away from the place he's going to rule. There, that was the.
I need
plot
this
dump.
Just went
I need
inception.
Like a chalkboard.
It just
yes.
Went boom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So basically the whole
so
thing
he's under the
in,
underboss.
Yes. So the thing with the brother is that her brother came to visit her. And I will say her brother was at the wedding. So like he has been referenced in the past. But her brother came over to visit because she hasn't seen him in a while.
Right.
And so they're just sitting chatting while she's taking care of the kids. And Cassio comes home and freaks out and gets in a fight with her brother. Because how dare his wife be home alone with another man that is her brother.
Right, right.
Yes. But you'll remember incest was a trigger. So we'll roll back around to that. So... surprise. Turns out Julia is fantastic with children. She's great with the kids.
She was just a child a few pages ago.
Exactly.
Why.
She's like, let's all get Happy Meals. Yeah. Come on.
We can share our toys. So, who wants to hear about Cassio's backstory finally? You know,
me.
Where it started
sure,
with all the
not?
Blood and stuff. We're about to learn about that. So basically, throughout this book, Julia has like 12 times told Cassio, I want to make this marriage work. You have to trust me a lot. So finally, he decides, okay, I'm gonna tell you all about my backstory, and I really think that it's going to ruin our relationship. But you asked, so I'll tell you. I killed my wife. Well,
oh, wow,
but wait.
He did do it.
But wait.
Damn.
But wait. I caused
who
her death.
Who didn't see that
I
coming.
Didn't actually
so
kill her.
So it's manslaughter.
I didn't. I honestly didn't. I thought it would be more than that.
So
I didn't
he
think
didn't,
it would just be like,
you're
okay,
such
yeah,
an
he
optimist.
Killed her.
No, he
you're
didn't.
You're such
he,
an optimist.
He said he killed him. He killed her because he blames himself. So the actual
what?
Story, here's what happened.
Okay.
Here's what happened. So his wife, he and his wife, it was an arranged marriage, like these marriages are, obviously.
Hello.
She hated him. Absolutely hated his guts. Like,
well, his name's Cassio. Of course.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
she's
her
a
name.
Timex lady.
I don't know. Her name is Gaia. So,
like,
you know,
mother of the earth.
Of
yes, like
it
mother
is.
Of the earth.
Gaia.
Okay. Yeah. So oh, apparently Lord. There is an alliteration thing going. We have Gaia. We have Julia. Mm. G's everywhere. Mm. So she hated him.
Well, that's not really alliteration because they have to make the same sound. But
close
never
enough.
Mind.
Okay, Professor Cox.
Well,
like
okay.
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me spell
out
to you
this murder,
why
not murder.
She's a bitch. So, here's
why
what happened. She hated him.
Mm-hmm.
The only time she would have sex with him was when she wanted something from him, and she slept in a different bedroom and just hated his guts.
So?
Absolutely despised him. So, he came home one day, found his kid playing on the iPad. Apparently, that's why the kid is now playing on the iPad all the time. And, his kid's like, hey, mommy and my uncle are upstairs playing.
Oh, so there's the incest.
There's the incest. Boy. Turns out she and her half-brother have been banging for like 8 years.
Dun, dun,
so
dun,
so
dun,
before
dun, dun.
Her and
if
Cassio
he's her
got married.
If he's her half-brother, then what's the problem?
Just,
sorry.
They're just, basically cousins at that point.
Just, wait, just pull out? Is that
the...
what it is? Just do halfway? Is that what you're saying? I'm back. I'm sorry.
So he walks in on them mid-coitus, and...
That's the act of love, Darren.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think it was like a guitar amp or anything. Yeah.
Oh, that's the name of the episode, The Act of Love. Yeah. She's screaming. He throws her in the bathroom and grabs the dude and takes him down to the murder basement and tortures him. Now, to be fair...
They have a murder basement?
You don't?
How do you
oh,
not
sorry.
Have a murder
you
basement?
Live in an apartment.
Hey, any basement
have a
can be a murder basement.
If you
right.
try hard and believe in yourself. So
there are drains in my basement, so it would be good for a murder
you
basement.
You could hose that down. Uh-huh. So to be fair, they were pretty sure this dude that his wife has been fucking, that's also her brother kind of, was also a traitor. So he kind of was also a traitor and screwing Cassio's wife. So, you know, double whammy. So Cassio, instead of interrogating him, the dude's like, oh, by the way, and your kids... They aren't yours.
Yeah, that's
and
what
so
I was wondering.
Cassio literally beats a man to death with his bare fists. So yeah. Cassio
has some redeeming qualities.
Thursday nights.
Yeah. So Cassio murdered her lover. She was also heavily pregnant at the time with Simona.
Wait. Cassio murdered whose mother?
Lover.
Lover.
Not mother.
Lover. Okay. Okay. Yes.
She was heavily pregnant at the time, but she hates Cassio and now knows Cassio murdered her lover. So she's like, all right, I'm going to kill myself and the child that's inside of me.
Oh,
so they
no.
basically sedate her for 4 months. She gives birth and then she kills herself.
What?
What?
What about this doesn't make sense? I don't understand.
Everything.
She's 5 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they sedate her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To get through the rest and of the pregnancy.
Because she's starting.
And then she kills herself.
Let her wake up and kill herself.
She kills her. Well, she apparently is starting to improve. Like she gets on medication. Wait,
she delivered.
Like
she delivered the baby.
Yeah, C-section.
Okay. And yeah.
Then. Then
she kills herself.
Uh huh.
As one does.
Yeah. So and she leaves a note. And of all the things in this book,
a note. She left a note.
Yeah. The thing that bothered me the most, out of all the things in this book.
What's happening?
Is that it's a normal book, and then you get to the.
It's not.
It's not a normal book.
The thing that bothered me the most out of this entire book was that it's an ebook, so normal text in ebook format, and then you get to the note, and the note is a literal fucking clip art image.
Oh, no.
Of some blood-stained paper fake script for the note that is just fucking pasted in the middle of this ebook color.
Yeah. Mike, I think that this is when the caffeine has started to wear off.
So she basically, Cassio blames himself because he killed his wife's half-brother that was also her lover, and his wife then blamed Cassio and decided that the best way to get back at Cassio would be to murder her own children and herself, but then she's like, oh, but they might be my lover's children, so I'm just going to kill myself instead.
So does she have the second...
Yes.
She has the second kid.
The second kid.
Which one is that one?
Simona.
Sonoma?
Sonoma. William Sonoma.
You know, it's like if you have so many...
That's in Arizona, it's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, if you have so many plot holes at some point...
Wait, that's Sedona. No. Sorry.
Not Sedona. All right. Can we finish this fucking book?
We need to finish the book.
And I will say, minor props to the author in that when I was actually reading it, it did make the plot progression made sense.
We haven't even spotted it.
You're right. No. I'm sorry. There isn't a plot. The series of events, like I understood what she was saying, but now that I'm having to describe it to another human, I was like, oh yeah, that was really fucking dumb, huh?
Why did they put her to sleep for 4 months?
Because she was going to harm the child and
herself. Then why did they let her wake up?
Apparently starting to get better.
Okay, so she wasn't, like, totally asleep. They just gave her something
No, she was sedated.
So she was, like, chilled out, yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
Just one?
Oh, I've got plenty of questions, but I'm gonna limit it to this one,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
So there was the four-month-old
uh-huh.
and the two-year-old.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the dead wife
mm-hmm.
who... So she... The dead wife was the one who... At 5 months pregnant, they sedated her
mm-hmm.
for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that baby?
So that's the 4-month-old. So she didn't kill herself until 4 months after she had the child.
Oh, yes. I thought she killed herself immediately. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
And because it's going to make us go even more off the rails, we're not even going to mention the fact that Cassio murdered the dead wife's parents after the wife killed herself, and the doctor that was there, and everyone that witnessed it. We're not even going to get into that bullshit.
And the mailman, and then the guy selling lattes at Starbucks.
Pretty much.
I would have taken out
the cake pop person.
All right, so we're getting into the trust montage. This is the third montage in this book.
Do they do any trust falling?
They don't, but they actually like...
you fall back and I'll catch you.
You just enjoy that over there.
Cassio and Daniel start to actually trust each other again. Daniel basically asks Julia, like, hey, is my dad a bad person? Because my mommy told me he was. And so she has to explain to him, well, no. But internally she's like, kind of. So he starts talking again. They have his birthday party, and Julia magically knows how to cook food, mm-hmm. even though she doesn't, because mm-hmm. she's the daughter of a rich mm-hmm. person. They have Christmas together. The kids start calling Julia mom, and they finally admit that they love each other. Cassio and Julia do. It's a whole thing. It's just a whole bunch of love and everything. And now we're going to cut to 9 years in the future.
What?
Yeah.
So this was after the Hallmark Christmas movie section.
Think of it like we essentially had the Hallmark Christmas movie and it faded to black, and now it's coming back up 9 years in the future.
9 years in the future.
Okay.
Yes. Where was the plot of this book? Was it just about them learning to trust each other?
We're still playing now the game,
you're looking
Margie.
For it. Okay.
Yeah, it's we're 9 years later.
The plot
yeah.
game. Now.
Now she's a Jedi. Go ahead.
Now, towards the end of this trust montage, I should also mention that Cassio's father has a little sit down with Julia.
Oh.
And is like, hey, so when are you going to have kids?
We need to talk about you having some children.
Yes, exactly yeah. that. Okay. And she's
I saw
like,
the sheet. I know you did the deed.
And she's like, excuse me, I have children. These are my children now. Like, I am their mother. I can't have another child. There's two of them already. Like, this is a lot of work, and I'm 18 still. And he's like, yeah, but.
Wait, I thought they were
wait,
nine.
You said it was 9 years went... later. She can't be 18.
This is before
still.
The 9 years later. Sorry.
Oh,
this
okay.
is before the 9 years later.
Okay.
Yes. Before
I thought she was 27
this is,
now, I can add.
This is yeah. at the end of the trust montage.
Okay.
We're still
okay.
in the trust montage. And she's like, well, what do you mean? She's like, well, but Cassio's children aren't his. And she's like, well, but Cassio elected not to have a paternity test because he didn't want to know because he loves them no matter what. And he's like, that's fine. I did, though, and they're not his kids.
Ooh, awkward.
And she's Ooh. Like, okay, well, I don't care.
Yeah.
They went on Maury?
Yeah,
to do
essentially.
This? Okay.
Essentially. Yeah. And so she's like, I don't care. We're still not having kids. Now, at this point, there are three people in the world that know, four, that know what happened with Cassio's wife. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, including Cassio's boss, has been told kind of like a dumbed down version of this.
A not dumbed down version.
Yeah, right?
That's
a
what I
dumbed
needed.
Down. Not the not, okay.
I we're if you can see on my last page of notes here, we are this is the trust montage.
Okay.
This is all we have left in the book.
Oh, wow. Dear God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like so, you're in the car. We only have 400 miles left. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much. This is page 3 of notes. So cut to 9 years. Now we will cut to 9 years later. So that just okay. had to be mentioned. Years later, they finally decide, yeah, you know what? Let's have that other kid. So mm-hmm. they're going to have another kid.
Mm-hmm. How, he would be.
And everyone's happy because legitimate children. Yeah, he's 40.
42.
Yeah. Yeah, 42. 40 something. Yeah, yeah, 42.
That's pretty old for having a kid.
Yeah, he's 42, and she is a whopping 27.
Mm-hmm. 27.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and a vampire.
Yeah, so really ageless. So they decide to have a kid. Everyone's happy because, yay, legitimacy. Great. But Julia's like, no, these are still my children. It does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
This one will still be the underboss, not the one that I'm carrying. It's a thing. And Cassia's dad, on his deathbed... oh, by the way, we're jumping another 8 months. So now she's 8 months pregnant.
Okay.
Tells Julia's dad about the whole shenanigans.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because
that's
Cassio's
a good idea.
Dad is on his deathbed right now. Because
how can and, you have how can you have trust?
Yeah. It's
if
fine.
If you're hiding things.
So so Cassio's dad tells Julia's dad about the whole thing because he's on his deathbed and he wants to make sure that his lineage is perpetuated throughout the mafia ranks, I guess. And Julia hears about this and freaks the fuck out mm-hmm. because she knows that her dad and mom are going to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, no, I'm driving to your house and we're going to have a conversation about this. And her dad is like, no, I'm going to tell people. And she's like, don't. And she's like, no, I'm going to do it. Don't do it. I'm going to do it. She's like, fine. So she leaves and goes to Cassio's boss, who is the only person that can stop her dad from telling everybody, I guess.
Okay.
So Cassio's boss doesn't know about this.
Okay, yep.
Which is a problem because he likes to murder.
When
he feels like he's been betrayed. So she tells him, she's like, hey, you need to make sure.
So who's he going to murder?
Well, Cassio shows up.
Yeah.
And is like, no, I'm going to tell you about all of this. And then everything's fine.
What?
Huh?
What?
They
Wait,
have to tell
what?
This whole book has been leading up to this whole like, oh, but we lied to him. He's going to see it as a betrayal. Oh, no. He'll never find out. Like, so much quote-unquote tension throughout this whole fucking book, and it gets to the point where they have to tell this guy that he lied,
that his,
and this is the
that,
real story, and the guy's like, all right, don't do it again.
Don't lie again, or don't have incestuous children again?
Don't lie again.
Okay.
Yes.
Look at Mike.
I'm still waiting for someone to raise their hand and say they found the plot.
Well, the plot is you these know, incestuous children.
Essentially.
Like, That's really what the plot is, and how upset people are that these children are the product of incest.
Well, hang on. All right. A couple more notes before we comment on too much further on that. Everything's fine. Literally nothing happens. Everyone makes up. She has the baby. End of the book.
So it's like the end of Twilight when they have the war and then they don't have the war.
This book is over?
Yeah, it's done now.
And they never addressed the fang.
No, they never addressed the fang.
Oh, come on!
You know how... You know how there's like, you have Jaws, the movie Jaws.
Yeah.
And like one of the top movies or whatever. But then there's like a bunch of sequels.
Right.
And in every single one of the sequels, you know that somebody's going to get eaten by the shark at the beginning.
Right.
And at the end, somebody's going to blow the shark up.
Right.
But you don't remember anything in between those two scenes.
Right.
That's how I feel right now.
Right.
Yeah. I know, yeah, I know that he woke up with like bloody sheets. And it and ended and everybody's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the hell happened.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Now, I would like to go ahead and throw this out for your benefit. This is one of the more tame books that we've covered.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
No, it shouldn't. No. Just, you know, now you've experienced it.
Yet it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Blue's Clues. It's tame, but it's disturbing.
Yeah. Oh, it's still horrifying.
Level.
It's an eldritch horror version of Blue's Clues.
A cartoon blue dog and a dude you know is just buried somebody in his backyard.
Exactly.
You know, something's going on there.
Now, are you a
Blue,
quick read?
Someone's been murdered. Help me find the clues.
That's right.
What? It's behind me?
Yeah.
Where?
Are you the monster?
And it's hard to animate discontent in a blue dog, but you can see it if you're looking.
You can see it dead in his eyes.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't enjoy reading. I mean, I know how. I'm very good at it. I can read. I just don't like reading.
You can't read a clock.
Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
How long did it take you to read this book? Are you one of those that can read a book in a weekend or...
This one took me about 4 hours.
4 hours. Okay. Yes. This, for me, I would have closed the book and said, the hell? And that's 4 hours just completely wasted.
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of books, and the biggest reason we kind of do this is because there's a lot of books where, like I said, something that is not romance, something that is like sexual assault is construed as romance. And when you're young and you're reading this, you don't have that context. You might not understand that this is not an okay relationship, and we do not think that is okay, so we like to read those books and then destroy them.
Are you telling me that kidnapping is not a good basis for a relationship?
We've been over
hello
this.
Beauty and the Beast,
we've been over this. It's not great.
So
this one was tame as far as the problematic parts go. I will say, so after we get through the book, we will rate it. There were some parts of it. She actually was like kind of an okay character.
Okay.
She like had a personality kind of a little bit. She wasn't a piece of cardboard.
Barely.
And she like had emotional development. And Cassio also had some emotional development.
I mean, it's really hard. I will say this with Cassio. Yeah, he's coming up from nowhere.
Yeah, it was a very low bar.
He's coming up from, I don't want to take care of children and locking a dog in a closet. Yeah. So.
Right.
Not starting out.
Did the dog ever get out of the closet?
Yeah, whatever happened to the dog?
The dog came out. Everyone accepted him for who he was.
There it is.
And what was the dog's name?
Oh, God. Lulu. The dog's name was Lulu.
Lulu.
So I feel like we discussed, normally what we do is after we go through the book's quote-unquote plot, we will discuss it in a literary fashion and then rate it. I feel like we did a pretty good job doing a literary analysis as we were going through it. But if anyone has any closing thoughts, we can real quick get to rating.
Closing thoughts.
Yeah.
I love how they just skip major... all kinds of major plot points, and let's just move on to this and this and this and this, because it's like 9 years of stuff. How long was this book? 82 pages probably. I mean,
400.
That's a long,
it was a full novel.
That was, that's long for like
The thing that got me with the book, honestly, like having read it, is that there were so many things that happened that didn't matter.
Yeah,
like his boss goes on a killing spree, and they mention he's killed a bunch of people. Oh, no, this could be bad for us. And then nothing happens with
nothing
it.
Nothing
literally
happens.
Does not come up again in the book.
And that seems really important.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. More well, important than some incestuous little kids.
And like, it started out strong because it literally starts from his perspective, talking in the first person, and he knows what happened to his wife, and he's covered in blood, but they're not going to tell you that.
No.
And it's like, okay, but like, if you want me to believe that I am reading a book from this person's perspective, I should know this. So it starts out strong.
Right. Mm. And see, for me, if I was reading this, though, the whole time I would be waiting for some type of an investigation to happen.
Right. Exactly.
But none of that.
No.
None of that happened.
Absolutely they, not.
Yeah.
No. There was nobody even, hey, you wouldn't happen to know who might have killed her, would you? No.
Nothing.
Nobody asked a damn thing.
No.
I feel
Columbo
like
was nowhere to be Columbo. Found. He would have gotten that.
I just have one more question. Yeah.
How's the dog?
Why do you have a dog in the laundry room?
I think the thing was like she couldn't decide whether she wanted to make a book that was entirely character driven or a book that was plot driven. Mm-hmm. And so she tried to
or
mix
a book that
two.
Had any qualities.
Yeah. Well, okay, so ratings real quick. So we rate the two main characters, the plot and the sex, on a scale of 1 to 5, and then we do an overall 1 to 10 rating for the book. So Cassio, he's got a 1, maybe 1.5, because there was at least some growth there. Julia, she gets a 2. She was a decent human being to start and became more of a decent human being, so that was fine. But they're both pretty much cardboard.
Right.
Like, there was not a lot of personality there. Their personality was overusing the word pussy and being wet. The plot
I'm so tired.
Doesn't exist, so that's good. The sex was my own personal hell. Just bad. So those are ones. And overall, I'm going to give this book probably...
A 1.
A 2.
Whoa!
2.5, maybe.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And that's out of 5?
That's out of 10.
Out of 10, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's... Don't. Just don't.
Well, don't we'll send it. You guys copies of this book if you want it.
I will buy one for you
if
you want.
Signed
by
us. So,
I was going to ask how many, you know, this is a comedy podcast and it's so easy to take this. And, you know, it's kind of like the MST3K version of romance novels. You know, you can just, you know, on that show, they just bash old horrible movies. It's what makes it entertaining. But that was, I was going to ask, how many times do you do a book that has, that's like really good and then you turn it into an actual... Not an actual quality podcast.
We've
but,
had
I mean,
a few books.
Sorry.
A book
sorry.
Review podcast.
But we have had books where we've been surprised, where we were like, this was actually really good. But we've also had books where we knew that the book was probably going to be good because it's gotten a lot of good reviews.
Although that does not always
although that
matter.
Does not mean anything.
No, I think
or
this one has 4.5 stars on Goodreads.
Right.
So.
Well, I guess it's more like... Our friends have told us, oh my God, this book is so good and you have to cover it. Because I'm looking at one right now, Red, White, and Royal Blue is over on the shelf.
Honestly,
and that one's
one of my
so
favorite
cute.
Books ever. It's very good.
And we loved that one, but our friends told us that it was awesome, which is one of the reasons why we covered it. But we usually do get books from, like, our book reviews, when people send them into us, they are the requests that people, for us to read them, they're bananas.
They're usually terrible. It's like you said, when the worse the book is, the more fun the episode is. So we tend to try to go for books that are a little more ridiculous, just because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we do definitely like we break try to break it up with a good one every once in a while. And
she usually gets the book good ones. Somehow. I usually like find the like horrific ones. Like though some that I've covered, I will never recover.
There actually have been a couple where like the cover of the book is like, oh, this is going to be bad. There's a man without a shirt on. You can't see his face and everything is blue. It's going to be awful. And it turns out being actually like a really good book.
Right.
So it's... It
and also
really
the whether something is a best-selling novel
means
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Right.
New York Times best-selling author list is jack shit.
It's worthless.
Means nothing. It's terrible.
Worthless.
Yeah. So,
I mean, like, and we know that because 50 Shades of Grey is one of the top-selling books ever.
Yeah.
Well, when you're one of these authors who, you know, you've had 4 or 5 good books, and once you start selling a lot of them, you can put out crap from then on, because as soon as your book comes out, Darren's got a new novel, and then you go buy it.
Well,
God. And then I wonder how many bad books someone has to go through before they don't buy the fifth bad one.
The industry's changed as well though because of self-publishing on Kindle, like digital self-publishing.
So seriously, there was not one word, not one page in this book where they mentioned the fang.
No. Because it's so to be fair, it's not actually a fang. It's just really poor choice by the artist in lighting wise.
It's a fang.
But it looks like a fang.
Yeah, it's a fang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so hey, thank you guys so much for going on that fucking ride with us, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Welcome to the world of romance novels. I hope your first one was terrible.
Oh, she's talking to us.
Yeah, okay. I'm talking to you.
I thought you were talking to the people listening.
No. Right.
Darren.
Yes.
Was this your first romance novel that you've heard talked about in a podcast while that you're part of?
Let's present the sheets.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yes. Thank you, beautiful listeners, for going on this ride. And I hope you feel like you understand the romance novel genre a little bit more. Being dads. I don't know if you have daughters.
I do.
Mike, do you have a daughter?
No, I have two boys. We both have two boys.
Oh,
okay, then
man.
You're yep. well, you won't have to deal with it. Do you guys want to go ahead and plug your pluggables one last time?
Do you want to plug us?
Yeah, absolutely. If you enjoyed what you heard me and Bike bitch at
Bike?
Each other. take two. If you enjoyed listening to me and Mike bitch at each other, you can do more of that by going to irritabledadsyndrome.com. And listen to, we've got 28, 29 episodes.
That may be it.
Yeah.
That may be all we do.
We do the
Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram. We have, we just did the Linktree thing.
Oh,
I was so excited about that. We've got a Linktree now.
Yeah. I didn't know we did the Linktree.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Irritable Dad Syndrome, we're having a lot of fun. We're enjoying the podcast. It has absolutely nothing to do in common with this one, but we have a lot of fun,
people
are enjoying it, so people want to check us out, please do.
Yep.
Yeah, check them out.
We're trying.
thank you, Ayla Nariu, for the use of your song, Oh Love, off the album Be Held. That's our intro and outro music, and we love it, so, you know, credit where credit is due.
There you go.
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Anyone have any parting words, or are we ready to get into some sex?
Let's get into the sex and stuff.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.